Hi, this is Dick Staub, and I want to welcome you to Kindling's Muse at Kindling's Fest 2009. And now we're going to enjoy a whimsy from Nigel Goodwin.
Thank you, Dick. No lime green jacket today. The weather has changed on Orcas Island. So, different colors. And the wind is blowing this morning. I hope it's blowing through you all. You know, when God gave us his Ruach, can you say that? A bit more, okay? Get more spittle into us, you know? Talked about the clay. What do you see, right? So we need plenty of Ruach this morning to just blow us out. Good morning, good looking. You're so well behaved. You teach them well, Dick. You do teach them well. Marty O'Donnell's music is not Muzak. Muzak is what we have going in the background and talk over. It's not what we do with Beethoven and Mozart. There's Muzak and Newzak. Bookshops are full of it. Now, Marty O'Donnell's music is to take a journey. To take a journey with. To take a journey through. And all the kids out there are taking their journeys. Their journeys with that. So listen well, the art of listening. And today we are on, as Dick says, the second day of our journey. Together, broken beauty, fully human. And again, I'd like to share one or two pieces with you. When I was a teenager at school on the Isle of Wight, where I now live with Jilly, bring people out of the city to the island, give them some good wine, and good pate, and great conversation. When I was a boy at school, the poet laureate came to visit the school. Now, the poet laureate is the poet who writes, has to write, is obliged to write because he's laureate or she's laureate. We actually have the first female poet laureate ever in the UK. And they are obliged to write for royal weddings, not royal divorces. They're obliged to write for all royal occasions. And on this occasion, in the 1940s, a man called John Masefield came and spoke to us, and he wrote this about longing. I must go down to the seas again, to the lonely sea and the sky. All I ask is a tall ship and a star to steer her by. And the wheels kick and the wind's song and the white sails shaking, and a grey mist on the sea's face, and a grey dawn breaking. I must go down to the seas again, for the call of the running tide is a wild call and a clear call that may not be denied. And all I ask is a windy day with the white clouds flying and the flung spray and the blown spume and the seagulls crying. I must go down to the seas again, to the vagrant gypsy life, to the gull's way and the whale's way, and the wind's like a whetted knife. And all I ask is a merry yarn for the laughing fellow rover, and a quiet sleep, and a sweet dream when the long trick's over. Longing is a God-given gift. Desire, the awakening of desire, is a God-given gift. Adam longed. Ah! At last, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Longing is in all of us. Look for the longing on the people of Orcas Island. Not what you want to give them, but what are they longing for? The great artist is longing for us. Once, by R.S. Thomas, God looked at space and I appeared. Rubbing my eyes at what I saw. The earth smoked, no birds sang. There were no footprints on the beaches of the hot sea, no creatures in it. God spoke. I hid myself in the side of the mountains as though born again. I stepped out into the cool dew, trying to remember the fire sermon, astonished at the mingled chorus of weeds and flowers in the brown bark of the trees. I saw the many faces of life, forms, hungry for birth, mouthing at me. I held my way to the light, inspecting my shadow boldly. And in the late morning, you rising towards me out of the depths of myself, I took your hand, remembering you, and together, confederates of the natural day, we went forth to meet the machine. There's a poet. A wonderful play written not so long ago called Noises Off. And sometimes there are more noises off confusing than noises on. Cavafy, I don't know if you've read him, the collected poems of Cavafy. He's Greek. We write out of our culture. We write out of our weather. We write out of our land. We write out of our clay. When you're meeting people as you journey, see their clay, not yours. See their world, not yours, if you want to have a real conversation with anybody. Desires. Like beautiful bodies of the dead that haven't aged and were locked in a brilliant mausoleum with tears, with roses at their heads and jasmine at their feet. That is what desire looks like when they pass without having been fulfilled, without even a single night of passion or a shining morning. See, the enemy knew about fearfully and wonderfully made. And so Mr. Nasty comes along, doesn't he? Did God say? Nothing wrong with the question. Doubt in the mind. God said we may eat that, but not that. Good answer. God knows that when your eyes will be open, you will be like God. Because that's what Mr. Nasty wanted for himself, to be like. And he's brilliant at deception. He's brilliant at look-alike. It looks so good. Doubt in the mind. Desire in the heart, disobedience in the will. Now God placed all those possibilities in the gift of choice in each one of us. And as Bruce said last night, talent is a given. Calling is a work. Calling is a work. 90% perspiration, 10% inspiration. Irena Ratishinskaya was a young poet, and she was imprisoned in Russia for 2 years for writing poetry from the perspective of knowing God is there and He is not silent. And Steve Turner wrote this, "Beaten but not lost. We beat her and she lost weight. She lost blood. She lost consciousness. But she never lost hope. She never lost poetry. And she was never lost." You must have to beat real hard to get the God out of these people, to still the noise of heaven in their hearts. You can't get the God out of the godly. Friend of ours, Norman Stone, after I had met this man, he was a Cornish poet, lived in the China Clay area of Cornwall, and he was both blind and deaf. Jack Clemo wrote some amazing books of poetry. It's not a cliche to say, sometimes there is a seeing, there is a knowing, there is a depth in those who do not have eyes that those who have eyes do not have. And those who do not have ears to hear have a hearing that those with ears. So when Scripture says to whom much is given, much is required, how much is required of us? What do we see this morning? What is our longing? What do we desire today? And Jack, who I met years ago, he's gone to be with the Lord now as his wife, Ruth, who I got to know and love. I wrote this on the eve of his wedding to Ruth, who he now sees, by the way, who he now hears. The only way they could communicate was like this. I'm not a good speller. You know, that is fast writing. That is how they communicated to one another. And I had to pray like crazy. You know, T-H-E-T-H-E. The O-L-D. W-O-R-L-D. But they were good. He was smiling, you know. The clay was alive. He lived in the clay. Wedding eve. Chrysanthemums sent the chapel on this last night of my unpartnered bed. There, foam-like under the dark cliff of the pulpit, they blend their stiff, thick tufts with an unseen swell, a tide absent when most men wed. October hush enfolds the fruits of a creed's battle, of a bond more real to me than time. Pews rest in starlight, and the hills climb dune-muffled to this house which holds the crisp ring and the key beyond. Elect for marriage, I sang that stubborn theme through 3 decades of hunger, mirage, avalanche, where nature made hopes blanch, a text like clay bed tang, like the bride's own breath, stirred in the shades, forest shade woke you, green boughs, fan sky, then bombers, London slash, splintered your vigil and you fled west. Prayed under palms and pressed the white chalk cliffs that spurn the vows of your nymph ardor and dogma flash. That Epping trail had to wind slowly to my Bethel blooms. No mask of dead dreams. Tomorrow the grey organ mirror reflects the crowning spray. Some brides have been tricked, made blind as they basked. But not where you bask. You chose pure heavenly grace to mirror the image of your man. No veiled carnality could pass the test of that altar glass. But it showed you a face, my face, scarred, yet singing against earth's ban. To plant the cross in the nerves intensifies the wedlock sun. Faith's ravaged fiber now revives where the blood thrives. And feel in your flushed curves, in your kiss, the world renouncing none. So two more loves are freed. Outside an age adrift and dark, vigils of dune and forest set us on the anchoring quest. And we find how disenchanted seed is changed to spirit's cana spark. The language of a blind, deaf man. That is seeing as the prophet sees. See, all of us have the rational Greek. Today's generation of young have the existential, it's okay to weep. But we need to move to the belly. The voice of God is here. The voice of people are there. Listen to his voice. It is the groaning and the traveling. It is the birthing place. And Joy Davidman Gresham, to become wife of C.S. Lewis, not predator of C.S. Lewis, loved wife. Another who awakened a longing in a man who knew male company, had lost a mother, and needed to know that the feminine in him was okay. Now, for many, Joy is not thought of as particularly feminine. And maybe she came as mind to mind in that restaurant, in that cafe, in that meeting place, eyeball to eyeball. God meets us where we are, mind to mind, and takes us to where we never dreamed we might go. He is awakening in us all a longing and a desire today. And in 1938, Joy wrote this, having not yet met Lewis. Yet one more spring, from a letter to a comrade. She is a communist. She is Jewish in root and communist in belief. What will come of me after the fern has feathered from my brain? And the rose tree out of my blood, what will come of me? In the end, under the rainy locust blossom, shaking its honey out on springtime air, under the wind, under the stooping sky, what will come of me? And shall I lie voiceless forever in earth and unremembered? And be forever the cold green blood of flowers, and speak forever with the tongue of grass, unsyllabled, and sound no louder than the slow falling downward of white water, and only speak the quickened sand grains stirring, only the whisper of the leaf unfolding. Only the tongue of leaves forever and ever.
Out of my heart the blood root, out of my tongue the rose, out of my bone the jointed corn, out of my fiber trees, out of my mouth a sunflower, and from my fingers vines, and the rank dandelion shall laugh from my loins over millions seeded earth, but out of my heart, core of my heart, blood of my heart, the blood root, coming to lift a petal in peril of snow, coming to dribble from a broken stem, bitterly the bright color of blood forever. But I would be more than a cold voice of flowers, and more than water, more than sprouting earth under the quiet passion of the spring. I would leave you the trouble of my heart to trouble you at evening. I would perplex you with lightning coming and going about my head, outrageous signs and wonders. I would leave you the shape of my body filled with images, the shape of my mind filled with imaginations, the shape of myself. I would create myself in a little fume of words and leave my words after my death to kiss you forever and ever. The persistent search for truth, her curious, incisive mind, but most importantly, her clear and unique voice. Hers is an arresting, provocative, and sharply penetrating voice. Such was her longing. Thank you.
This is Dick Staub. Thanks for joining us for the Kindlings Muse at Kindlings Fest 2009. Kindlings Fest is an annual event in July on Orcas Island, a celebration of faith, art, and ideas. Go to thekindlings.com for more information about Kindlings Fest or to listen to more podcasts at the Kindlings Muse.